Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you again. I wish I was able to be with you in your presence, but this is the way we're going to have to do it for a little while. But it's good that you're all able to be here for our worship, either at 10 o'clock in the morning or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But just because we're not able to see each other doesn't mean that I'm forgetting about you. You're in my heart, you're in my thoughts and prayers, and I hope that we'll be able to be together soon. Today I want to talk about some things with the Apostle Paul, because I think he is someone who certainly understood hardship. And certainly his hardship had to do often with persecution rather than just with the general illness of our times, the general financial hardships of what's going on. But I think perhaps in the way that he was able to overcome that, we might also be able to see and be able to overcome as well. Turn, if you will, please, to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 23 of chapter 11, we see some of the hardships that the Apostle Paul faced. In this chapter, he's having to defend his discipleship from the enemies that have gathered at the Corinthian church. He's been able to make a great deal of headway with the Corinthians, but there's still some holdouts that are his enemies and are looking for fault with him. Here, beginning in verse 23, he says, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane, I'm more so. And far more labors, and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" I realize that, again, the Apostle Paul is undergoing difficulties because he is a preacher of the gospel. And the things that we're facing in our time are not because we are Christians. But I think it might let us have a sense of perspective to realize just how terrible things were for him in so many ways as he tried to live as a Christian and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting also not only to give us a sense of perspective to realize what he faced as compared to ourselves, but to see how he coped with it that certainly might be able to provide us with a wonderful example for ourselves. Look back in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and there we see, beginning in verse 7, how he talks about his ministry and the things that he had to face and how he coped with them. In verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." An earthen vessel was a clay pot. They used clay pots and jars for just about everything in the ancient world. The study of archaeology is the study of the pottery of the ancient world. They used it to hold food. They used it to eat food out of. When the pottery was broken, they used it to write on. Their memo pads were pot shards that they would write on, and we have all those things that we are able to understand more and more about the cultures of the ancient world because of the pottery that was broken and they threw away. They recognized that it was frail. But here, the Apostle Paul uses the example of how that the frailness of humanity and the surpassing value of the treasure, the gospel that was in him and the apostles, and to some extent in Christians, is something that is an amazing contrast. Normally you would put something very valuable in a valuable container. Here you have something that is in a common container, but the treasure inside of it is amazingly valuable. He says then, having this treasure in earthen vessels, he said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Here, the frailness of the container was somehow made valuable because of the treasure that was inside it. And because of the treasure that was inside it, it was able to transform the vessel into something that was much more valuable because of what it contained. You notice, afflicted in every way. The word afflicted there is a word in the original language that carries with it the idea of pressed. They used it to talk about pressing grapes. But you'll notice here they are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Most grapes, when you stepped on them in an ancient wine press, you'd crush those grapes. But here, in spite of the fact that they're being pressed upon, he's not to the point where he's crushed. Perplexed, that means uncertain, not knowing necessarily what was going to happen. Puzzled, but not despairing. In spite of the fact that there are things that he doesn't know, that there's things that he doesn't understand, he still doesn't despair because of the hope that he has because of the treasure that is within him. We sometimes don't know exactly what's going to happen with this virus. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of even the life of some of us here. But we do know that in spite of the insecurities of life and the insecurities of health and the insecurities of financial matters, still we have a situation in which we can not despair because the Lord has made it so that in spite of that uncertainty, faith can guide us through. In verse 9, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Not abandoned by the Lord at all, in spite of the difficulties that we face. And struck down, knocked down, beaten down, but not destroyed. Here in most of these situations that we find, we see a society in which there are people who are afflicted, who are perplexed, who are persecuted, who are struck down as far as their health, as far as their lives, as far as their circumstances are concerned. But the wonderful thing about the treasure that we contain is the fact that the gospel can transform us so that it doesn't defeat us. It makes it to where the faith that we have is something that gives us a confidence in the Lord that allows us to keep from being crushed and despairing, keep us from being forsaken and abandoned, keep us from being destroyed by the circumstances that we face. Because, as it says in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. The point that's being made there is the fact that the faith in Jesus Christ, the confidence that we can have in him, the hope that that instills in each one of us, is something that can make it so that the life of Jesus, while it is manifested in our mortal flesh, shows the same kind of trust in God, the same kind of blessed hope that Jesus showed in his apostle, in those who were his servants here in the Corinthian church, and those also in our day and time who allow the life of Jesus to be manifested in our bodies as we face the difficulties that are around us. In the last part of chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, there the Apostle Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I don't know what's going to happen with this virus. There are people who say that we've hit the flat line. Our peak has come and is leveling off. I don't know whether that's the case or not. I don't think anyone is certain what's going to happen once we begin to let off on some of the societal controls that are around us. It may very well be that there's a resurgence in the death rate and a resurgence in the hospitalization rate of people who are suffering from this terrible disease. Our economy may not bound back as fast as we think that it's going to. But what's interesting for us as Christians is to realize we have something much more valuable than a good economy and than good health. Because even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man, through Jesus Christ and the message that we contain about him, is being renewed day by day. He says in verse 17, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Momentary light affliction, he's talking about the things that we mentioned back in chapter 11. You know, I wouldn't consider being beaten times without number a momentary light affliction. I wouldn't consider the fact that I had been stoned so badly that they went off and left me because they thought I was dead as a momentary light affliction. But you notice how the Apostle Paul puts it in perspective. Momentary, because it's here today, gone tomorrow. Light rather than heavy, because it wasn't going to destroy him. And it was an affliction, but not something that was going to give him a loss, but instead ensure for him a victory. When I think of a momentary light affliction, I think of a paper cut. You know, have you ever, you know, been looking through a book or looking through a stack of papers and your finger rubs along the edge of it and it gives you a paper cut and it hurts, but it's not a major wound. You don't go to the hospital and get it sewed up. You basically just suck on your finger for a little bit. You might put a Band-Aid on it and it's over. Do you realize with all the things that the Apostle Paul suffered, he, because of the fact that he contained the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ and did his best to make sure that the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus was manifested in his mortal flesh, that he could consider them to be momentary light affliction. Trouble? What trouble? Because in the final analysis, that fades in comparison to what the Lord has in store for those that love him. In verse 18, it says, "For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." As we go throughout our week, let's think not in terms of what we're missing out on because of this time in our nation's history. Let's do our best to stay safe, but realize that there may even be some of us who get sick. I knew of a lady who got this virus in a congregation that I just came from in Kentucky. She's fine now, but there are people, even among our people, who are going to wind up being sick perhaps. There are also other people who are going to be affected because of the illnesses of people who are friends and neighbors of theirs in the community. There are people who have lost their jobs. There are people who are devastated in terms of their investments. How that's going to work, I don't know. But what I do know is if we put our confidence in what is not seen in the Lord, put our confidence in the treasure that we possess, rather than allowing the frailty of the earthen vessel that we inhabit to destroy us, then we can have the same kind of strength that the Apostle Paul had. Maybe at the end of this, we'll look at it and see momentary light affliction. That's my hope and prayer. But let's try to keep it in perspective and realize that it's only through putting our hope and confidence in the Lord that we'll be able to overcome this and come out on the end. Thank you very much for your kind attention.